commence primary ignition.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to yet another X-Wing podcast. I'm your host, Pete Lambrow, joined this week and every week by Chris Daniel. Chris, how you doing, bud?
En fuego, man. I'm doing good.
You're doing good. Are you ready to cement your place on this podcast as the second best FO player here?
That's it, man. Number two, yeah. Baby. They call me number one up to the captain. What?
Anyway, welcome to the podcast. Doug Howe, winner of the Las Vegas Open. You're now mayor of Vegas. Is that right?
They gave me a key. Yeah, I've got the key to the city.
Excellent. You make sure you use hand sanitizer after touching that.
Oh, yeah. I borrowed a gallon of it. Don't worry.
Jesus. Doug, we're so happy to have you on. Welcome to the show. We're going to talk about LVO. We could talk about Las Vegas. I've never been to Las Vegas. Chris, you ever been to Vegas?
Yes, I love it. What happens in Vegas, remember, stays in Vegas.
Yeah, you would love Las Vegas. I've never been. Never had the pleasure. Maybe someday.
I actually didn't get to enjoy it, but yeah, it was a nice time.
What would enjoy it look like to you?
Well, I guess like when everyone goes there usually for a party, like I went there for a work function. And then I finished the work so much early. That makes sense. I finished the work a day and a half early. That way I had another day and a half just to literally hang out and play poker, and you know, like walk around the casinos and stuff. But yeah. I didn't go with like, you know, when people are like, yeah, I went to Vegas with my friends and we got drunk. I didn't like have that experience.
Right. I used to, in my old job, there is a yearly conference in Vegas that I was on the list to go to, but I never like actually committed and went to, but which I don't know, but it's like a satellite, not satellite, like a, you know, smaller version of, but like about literal like television satellites convention.
Yeah.
And like broadcasting equipment convention, which is like extraordinarily boring for the setting.
You think is the Star Wars equivalent to Vegas? Is it that casino scene in Last Jedi?
Yeah,
high-stakes tables in Vegas.
Right, yeah. It's like literally a casino, and very handsome people there. I'm not unlike Vegas, I assume. Again, I've never been. Doug, we're very happy to have you on. We're going to start this podcast like we start every podcast with our Star Wars question of the week. And Chris, I got it. I'm ready.
All right, I'm sitting down.
Chris, Doug, you guys ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse?
Oh, yeah.
I have not.
Really? Not. Okay. All right. Well, at a Brazilian steakhouse, they have a menu item where it's kind of an all-you-can-eat situation, but it's what is it called, Chris? I can't remember. But basically, I call it the meat parade, where they will bring exotic and interesting types of meat to your table. And you have a little like hourglass on your table and you flip it to the green side and they'll stop by your table and cut you off a little bit of what they're serving. Right.
And
you flip it to the red side when you need a break. Okay. And they just come around. Right. And there's just this like 14, 15 different things you can try. And, you know, all kinds of wild stuff. Like I've eaten a chicken's heart, the heart of a chicken.
Oh God. You're
eating a chicken. They came over and said chicken heart. I said, sure. Is it included in the whatever I ordered? I'm in, right? So I tried it. Anyway, Brazilian steakhouse. So I want to know what exotic creature in the Star Wars universe you would want to have a taste of at the Brazilian steakhouse in Star Wars.
Oh God.
Yep.
I have one, but you'd have to help me with the name.
Okay, I'm ready.
When in The Mandalorian, and this is embarrassing because I really should know this, I'm going blank, but when it's the beast, when he falls in the water and he sees it, and it's supposedly like, they don't even know if it exists.
The Mythosaur.
Yes.
The Mythosaur. That's the scum logo.
Yes.
Yeah, the Mythosaur. Yeah.
Yes.
You want to eat the Mythosaur?
Damn,
Chris.
Because you got to go big. This is Star Wars, guys. You got to go big or go home.
Why do you think they're extinct? They were too good.
They were too delicious. Yeah.
Yes.
So they thought it was like a sacred symbol of Mandalore, but actually it was just like, it's like the Oscar Mayer logo. Yeah.
Mandalore, they're all just wearing an Oscar Mayer logo on their
right, yeah. They bought it. They sent in the box tops. They sent in like the UPCs and got like armor. Oh, God. What a delicious dish. Rodizio. Yeah. Rodizio is the style of thing. Rodizio.
I'll have a medium medium rare mythosaur, please.
Mythosaur. Mythosaur? Yeah.
I mean, I would try it too.
I'm not saying I wouldn't eat mythosaur. Yeah. My brain just doesn't jump to eating the sacred creature of a people.
Well, my first thought was porg. That
me too.
Like obvious.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like little porg. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, that porg looks all right when Chewbacca's roasting it.
Yeah, exactly. When he's roasting it. And then my other thought was whatever the horse creatures are, they ride around through that casino in Last Jedi.
Well, you got to get a leg. They have like six or eight legs, right?
Yeah.
You got to have a leg.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I thought of also was the beast that that Grogu lifted.
The rhinoceros looking one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because they want the egg, right? Mm-hmm. The Jawas want the egg. Yeah.
Well, we know the egg's edible, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Actually, yummy. Doug, anything's edible if you're brave enough.
Well, that's true. At least once. Yeah.
What's yours, right? Pete?
Oh, I want a slab of that fucking desert space Leviathan whale thing Obi-Wan's hacking up in the Obi-Wan show.
Oh.
Just that cut of meat looks pretty alright.
It does.
Pretty alright.
What about that big thing that attacked them in Mando that they were all it was in the
one? Oh, the crate dragon. The crate
dragon. Yeah. Crate dragon.
I would eat some crate dragon. I would have crate dragon jerky, I think.
Ooh, jerky, yeah. I have a quick, funny Brazilian food story. I was dating this girl, and we were new to that, you know, you flipping the card. As you said, green, they keep bringing meat at random, and then red. So I forgot to flip it back to red. So they just kept coming by, and I was like, oh, crap. So at one point, they come by, and they're like, rabbit, like with a smile. And the girlfriend at the time, she had a rabbit. And she looked at it, and she went, oh, my God. I was like, no, we're good, we're good. And I, like, waved them away. It was like quite an emotional scene for a quick second.
Well, she didn't think they cooked her rabbit, right? Like, it's just another rabbit.
No, but I think she was really attached to rabbits. So it was like,
but if we could just revisit Chewie cooking the porg, the other porgs didn't seem particularly perturbed by it. Like, a little bit.
No, they were like, it's a little messed up you're doing it in front of me. But the idea. Right.
You know Chewie ate that porg. Like, he did not let the already roasted porg go to waste.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And they still hung around, so they weren't that offended.
That's one of my favorite scenes with the cute little porg is like screaming in the Falcon right after Chewie.
Maybe they're like cannibals. Little porg, mean porgs are cannibals. They're like, yeah, eat this guy or we will.
I've Googled further. Rodizio is Portuguese for rotation or turn. Ah. So it's like they're rotating the meats past you, you see.
Mm.
Well, guys, I got to leave. I got to go to a Brazilian barbecue place.
There you go. It's a good time.
Yeah, Google Brazilian steakhouse near me.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. This is totally unrelated. It's food related, but you say you're from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Panera's got a different name over there, right? They call it.
It is. It's the St. Louis Bread Company. Yeah, they get very angry if you call it Panera. I'm not originally from St. Louis. I've lived here for a while.
So you're a Panera. But,
yeah. It was Panera everywhere else, but it's Bread Co. here, and it's a big deal.
Wow. It's a big deal in my house. My kids fucking love Panera. They get wild for it. Get that shitty mac and cheese and a shitty grilled cheese, and they're just like set for days. That's what we do. Thursday nights, my wife goes out to do yoga, and I take the kids out to dinner, and they're like, let's go to Panera. It's fine dining. I'm like, it is absolutely not, you guys. Like, it's and they jacked up the price. I take them to the diner now. I've convinced them that diners are red because they can get pancakes for dinner.
It's Panera Day. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what they're like. Monsters. Anyway, that's all right. That sounds like a delicious dish. Doug, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your time at the Brazilian Steakhouse. We hope you can come back. We're going to talk about LVO without you.
Take care, everyone. Good night. That was the podcast.
Doug, you did it. You won. You went to Las Vegas and you said, "Viva Las Vegas, I'm winning." Yep. How many people played in the Las Vegas Open?
65, I think, between the 2 days.
And you're the best one of all of them, huh?
I would say the luckiest one.
But... are you heard to hear, folks? Doug is better than everybody. this is very exciting stuff. Listen, let's do the boring stuff first. Tell us about your list. Tell us about your first order list that fucking dumpstered everybody else.
First order, best order. Go ahead, yeah. Doug.
It was five ships. It was three Typhos, Malaris with Magpulse, DT with Deuterium, and then Gaelic with HLC and Prior Tradition. There was a TIE SF, which was LaHuse with Barrage Rockets, Marksmanship, and the Gunner. And then finally, Kylo Ren in the Silencer with Protorps, Instinctive Aim, Lone Wolf, and Advanced Optics.
Sounds rad, first of all. Congrats on winning. So I don't fly First Order at all, right? And so anytime I read a First Order list or I think about a First Order list, my perspective on it is like, would I want to be across the table from this list? And most of the time, the answer is no, right? Like, most of the time, it's like, oh, good. It's FOs that I'll never be able to fucking kill. Great. Cool. DT, he can kill. But the deuterium power cells, that's a good call on there. I haven't seen that before. I haven't thought about that. I dig it. Because he's going to regen the shield, right? Like, more
yeah,
than
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah. Let's him limp away after that first engage.
Right. Can he also, there's another part of deuterium. Can he use it to get rid of his strain? Can he like turn himself into Scorch, basically?
Correct.
Like,
yeah. So in certain situations. Convenient? Yep, absolutely. I do. I probably do that about as much as I regen, honestly, because a lot of times if they focus on first, he's going to die. But yeah, like right. You take the strain to get the extra die and then you use Deuterium to make it a stress instead, but you already used the ability, so you still get the bonus die.
So in certain cases, it's like you want the strain because you don't care, right?
Yeah.
And in other cases, you want a strength. That's very cool. It's the power of Scorch and DT in one package.
Yep.
In the DT package. You don't do them together, huh? Because if you did, am I correct that you could get to six ships if you did Kylo in the Whisper, right?
You could. So I think that's probably a perfectly good list. I just hate the TIE Whisper. Like, I don't enjoy flying.
Really?
Like from a fun mechanic, I just hate the link everything to jam. I admit he's very good, but I would rather fly Silencer Kylo all the time.
You hate using it to the jam, or you mean you hate giving it like it's an NPE to other people?
I feel like it's I think it's an NPE to other people. It's a pure like fun thing. Yeah. It feels miserable to play with and against.
I absolutely respect finding the fun above everything else because I mean, this is a game.
Yeah.
You can win LVO and still want to be there for fun. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah. I think Silencer Kylo is very good. Like I brought it because I thought it was really good.
Right, right, right. Well, and I mean, the results speak for themselves here. Like it obviously is good. I was going to say, I will say, I think a lot of the fun of Kylo Whisper or Whispers in general hinge on having fun acrylic jam tokens.
That is a big part of it. And I do have some of the jam, like jar of jam tokens, which are fun.
Okay, but yeah. do you have any of the Parks and Rec Jeremy Jam tokens?
Oh my God, I don't. if I had some of those, I'd play a TIE Whisper.
At Worlds last year, I want to say shout out Josh Benjamin. Had some of those he gave to me.
That is an amazing jam token. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It is just a silhouette of Jeremy Jam. And if you don't know what it is, it means nothing to you. But like people literally recognize it immediately. Anyway.
Now you had some close calls, man.
Yeah, we talk about the games. Go ahead, Chris, take it away.
Well, I was just going to say, you had some close calls in the cut, and I was checking out even like the first, you were day one, I think I was.
Yeah, day one.
I was checking that out. You had like a few of your games actually were by 1 point and 2 points.
Yeah.
Oof. What were some of those close calls, and what do you think made you go over the top?
So I think my closest game across all of them was my top eight against Andrew Block, who was running Double Decimator, and we were tied at 20 going into the last round.
Double Decimator.
And I won 21-20, yeah.
So when, even when you see that, I'm going to spoil you for 1 second. Hmm. When you see double desis, what do you remember what scenario it was?
It was assault. And to be honest, I thought I was...
That sucks.
Yeah, I thought I was just lost. Because I was like, double desis, it's going to take me forever to kill him. He's just going to collect points.
And you can't out... Like, you couldn't out-cap him. If he wants a pointer too, like, you just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And Andrew's a fantastic player. I think he got in his own head a little bit on turn zero. And, he respected Kylo too much, I think. Like, he kind of... He had Rack, and so it was Rack, Morna, Tomax, the new standard Tomax, and then...
We love good Tomax.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And so he had Rack and Tomax across from Kylo. And then, like, Reimer kind of in the middle and Morna kind of in the middle. And he shot them all up the board and then turned everybody in on Kylo. So he actually let me get a bunch of assault points because everybody's chasing Kylo around.
Wow. That's kind of what you want with the list, though, right?
Yeah. I think he just over-respected Kylo a little too much. And Kylo got out mostly because I got good luck on road. So I was able to get past the Death Troopers before they triggered.
Oh, God.
It was a very good game. And, like, it was still 20-20 going into the last round. And then I got one extra assault point, so it was 21-20.
I don't think that's on stream. I wish that was.
Yeah, it was a very good game. But and then my top four against Tippett, Tyler Tippett, was on stream, and that was another ridiculously close game. Like, I think I was down 15-17 or something going into last round, and I finally picked off an arc.
That one I saw. Wasn't that Gaelic that got the arc with the HLC or no?
He did shoot him with an HLC. I think Kylo got the killing blow in that one. I don't remember. There were a lot of games.
Yeah.
Well, and then and Tyler specifically has been on this list for a while. He won Gen Con, which was forever ago, back in August, right? With the same, this, you know, kind of proven equation of Padme and the arcs and Anakin.
Although I want to say my favorite moment of that game. So Tyler practices mostly on TTS online.
Yes.
And it does the barrel rolls for you for medium bases. So he won Gen Con and then made it to the top four of this tournament barrel rolling arcs wrong. Like, he didn't know the rules to barrel roll arcs, because you know how medium bases have the funky, like quarter of an inch ahead.
The sideways style. Yeah. And then... Mm-hmm. It's the middle hash mark. It can go to the front of the template, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So you can see it on stream. Me teaching him how to barrel roll his arcs in the top four.
That's the same energy as 2022 Gen Con, when Nathan made it to the finals as spending force on range zero shots.
Yes. I remember hearing about that. Yep.
he had like stepped away from the game for a few months and they made this pivotal change. So he just didn't know, which is like valid. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like game, you know, he'd just been doing it all tournament.
Yeah. I love the idea that
you can't do
that deep, and somebody's like, wait, you can't. Have you been doing that the whole time? And I was just like, what? TTS does the barrels for me. How was I supposed to know?
He said TTS out loud on an AMG event, and he's not in prison. He's on an island somewhere.
That's why I was given the win. They decided the Jaguar.
Illuminati decided.
Is there a certain ship that you notice would go down quicker than others, or is it really like they're trying to jump on Kylo and that just varies?
So if they go, I tend to do a hammer and anvil type setup. It's usually the four little guys and then Kylo off to the side. And they're not like a tight formation.
You want to leverage that lone wolf, right? Like, straightforward.
And so Lahuse is usually the first target because, you know, he's the SF, only has two greens, it's easier to burn down. Which is actually why I do the barrage rockets on him, so that I can just keep him behind the other guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I usually keep him a full rage band behind the three FOs. So pretty much they're all three agility. Either you're shooting range 2 or range 3 type
thing. Nice. And then I guess you could bring him in fast, right? If you need to, and then he could shoot, get Taco Bell them.
Yeah.
I mean, that totally defeats like my mental game plan, not seeing your setup, right? It's like, I want to shoot, to my mind, I want to shoot Lahuse or DT first, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, those are the ones I think I could kill. But DT with the deuterium is tougher, right?
Yeah. And I present Malorus first. Like I just shove Malorus in people's faces.
Trying to kill Malorus.
And so it's like, you can take a bunch of range ones, but it's at the perma-focused TIFO that's only worth 3 points.
Yeah.
Or you can take a range 3 at the TIFO.
Who's got more health? Right. Yeah.
When I play my friends that have mallards, they go, like, you know, when you're going through like target priority and, yeah, and they're like, oh, who am I going to, oh, well, like, oh, I guess I have to shoot mallards. Oh, and then they shoot mallards. And I'm like, okay, good.
I think everybody's got a little bit of Stockholm syndrome about Mallorys. Like, Mallorys is insane for 3 points, and everybody's just kind of accepted it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I've been doing a lot of Empire stuff, right? I'm doing, you know, Vader Soon Tier and some bombers, right? Like, I'm very, I'm very deep into that. Oh, listen, it's good, wholesome fun. Shut up.
Yeah, no. I love lists like that. It's just bad for Kylo. Multiple sixes is not what I want to see. Like,
well, so actually, I played a casual game. I got a chance to go hang out with some friends. I got to play a casual game, and I was playing against someone flying six ship FO, right? And I very funny. We actually ended up tying, right? Just full on tie, which is very rare in my experience. But it was assault of the satellite array, and I lost Soon Tier on the first round of shooting. And clawed back to a tie. Yeah. But, you know, Mallorys, I ended up really getting Mallorys down low through bombs, right?
Like, so annoying.
Hit him with a proton bomb, you know, force him to barrel roll out of the way of something else right into range of the Connor net, right? And it's like, you get him down health that way, then just take him out of the game. It was
absolutely,
you know, I mean, so he's killable, but like, boy, that perma focus is so frustrating.
But I mean, like, even that statement, like, it's a 3 point ship, and the way you had to deal with it is you had to bomb it to death because its defense is so strong. Like, that's
right. And it's just Stockholm syndrome is I think correct, but also let's be real, right? Like, it is notable that you won a large event with FO because it's not like everybody's winning large events with FO, right? It is not an overpowering fact. It is not taking this one ship who is arguably, you know, better on the efficiency curve than its peers, right? You know, ruining the meta, right? You see,
it's not Republic or a Han list that is an expected boogeyman.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
Like, you got to be like a good ace flyer, I think, to be effective with FO.
Yeah. And a lot of it for me was like just getting really comfortable with my turn zero strategies. Like, just it was especially. If it was a meta list, I pretty much had a game plan going into the matchup. Like, as soon as I saw the list, I knew, you know, what I wanted to prioritize and where I wanted to put my objectives and stuff like that. And I think that helped a lot.
So do you mind, or you could keep them to yourself, but do you mind running through like tricks of the trade, like with the Han, with the bombers, like Vince bomber meta, you know?
Yeah, sure. So for Han and like the arcs in particular, a lot of what I do, and I think this applies to pretty much any list that is all small bases, is I tend to like imagine just like a diagonal line down the middle of the board. And I want to put as many rocks along that diagonal line as possible. And it might shift, you know, left or right a little bit, depending on where the objectives are. Cause I want, essentially what I want to happen is if Han or the arcs wants to fight over objectives, they have to come through the rocks to do it.
Right. Yeah.
And so like, I think, my final, is a really good example of it. It was Chance, so like the objectives aren't as big of a play, but like we literally get five rocks just straight down the middle of the board in a diagonal. And as a result, his arcs have to break up to come at me.
Yeah.
So I think it's really useful for any small base focused list because like things like those arcs or Han are going to out trade you naturally. So you have to try and break up their list so that you can focus on one thing while they can't all focus on you.
Right. Yeah, they say the tricks of the trade with that one is what you just said, and then try to get them one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what about against bombers? Because bombers are kind of crawling towards you, right? And then they might have barrage, number one. And then if you get too close, then they're going to poop a bomb out. And I'm like, oh, I got to watch where I move afterwards.
Absolutely.
That's challenging.
For my list in particular, I generally out-initiative bombers. Not Tomax, but like Reimer or Jonas or any of the others. So it's like I'll literally line Gaelic up directly across from Reimer or Deathfire. Mm-hmm. So like it's on them to get out of the HLC, that sort of thing. And like I'll aggressively pull Mallorys forward so she can mag pulse to nerf one of their offense before it shoots, things like that.
Then you're trying to put the scenario objective tokens, like, I guess within that area that, you know, you're going
to where I want the engage to happen then. Yeah.
It's still tough though. Like, cause I just feel like with First Order, like, I feel like there's kind of like general, a little, more room for error with Republic, with imps, with rebels, with resistance, because they have so much health. With First Order, you can die by the sword if you, with that three agility kind of fails on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're putting your hands in the three dice. I was gonna say, when you talk about initiative killing, you make me think of a pretty common. You know, I feel like I've seen a lot of the swarm tactics, like chaining, right? Is it swarm tactics, right? Where you can like midnight to scorch to DT and have three shots at I6, right? And you know, I feel like that's pretty powerful. Have you done anything with that? Have you looked at that at all? And how do you feel about that sort of stuff?
I personally don't like swarm tactics, but that's because I don't like keeping my ships close to each other because it makes it easier for them to. Like, if all of my ships are in a block, it's very easy for them to figure out where the block's going to go.
Yeah.
If my ships are all spread out so that they're, you know, range 2 to 3 apart as a group, then it's a lot easier for a ship to sneak out if it's getting focused, or to collapse the rest of the ships in on where they're engaging, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, being with Lone Wolf on Silo, did you like ever even try and play test like Crackshot? Because I like Crackshot, but
I do like Crackshot on him. So if the Lone Wolf is actually just the last 3 points that I had left over, because I focused proton torpedoes and then instinctive aim so that I could threaten sixes without having to worry about the lock. And then because I was going to focus all the time anyway, I went advanced optics and then I had 3 points left over. So Lone Wolf was just kind of the best fit there. Like, it's great for, you know, modifying the proton torpedo when I get it. But I didn't like force the Lone Wolf. So I would start off flanked and have Lone Wolf active. But if Kylo naturally moved towards my list, I let it happen. I didn't.
Yeah. Like, I was curious, like, with five ships on the board, surely Lone Wolf triggers less often than in like a three ship list. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, I mean, that you've answered the question already, but like the idea of, I fall victim to the trap of like chasing my upgrade cards sometimes, right? Like, I never fly trick shot ships because I then try to chase obstructed shots, and that distracts me from the goal of like trick shots in the just same way with bonus, trick shot, right? Yeah, you know, it should just be there as a bonus, but I can't let it be like I end up trying. My play deteriorates because I'm trying to manufacture a scenario in which I get extra dice, and it's like ultimately it would be better if I just played better and accepted the extra dice when it was given to me, right?
Yeah, and I think the way I got it, because I do that too with our trick shots, I don't run it very often. I think with Lone Wolf, how I got away with it is I thought of it as an offensive upgrade for that opening engage, for like when I'm trying to alpha strike somebody with a torp, and then I thought of it as a defensive upgrade if they're chasing Kylo. So like if they're focusing Kylo and his job is to run, then I would try to keep Lone Wolf active, because it's like with the focus and the 2-force, Lone Wolf is almost as good as an evade.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then you're talking about, you know, the instinctive aim protorps being primarily for threatening I6s. How much I6 do you run into? You see a lot of it?
I didn't run into a ton. Let's see. I played against a Han on the first day, and I played against a Delta B Anakin on the first day.
Probably a bunch of, I mean, I presume Vaders, right? No?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the top eight, Chris, and I don't. Yeah. I see. First of all, there's no Vaders in the top eight, and there's also only two Anakins. There's two I6s in the top eight. Like that's it, right? Which is surprising to me. But yeah, go ahead, Doug. Keep going. You
placed on. So I don't think I put in any Vaders. But the other advantage of the instinctive aim, especially because I have advanced optics, is I never have to pick a target until I shoot. And since I've got 4/5, like that's I can huge. Choose to shoot Kylo last. Yeah. There were plenty of times that it's like there's an arc on, let's say, like 4 or 5 health. And like I could torp him, or I could let the other guy shoot first. And then if they're all dead, I can torp somebody else.
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So I tried the Master Doug list online the other day, and then when you look at your list, you're feeling like so good, right? You have advanced optics, you have a focus, you have a force, you have Lone Wolf. I was like, this is great. Dude, I got like an idiot. I got close enough to where Lone Wolf barely didn't work, and then two times I rolled for proton torpedoes, two focuses and two blanks.
Oh, it hurts, man. it definitely happens. Like, so mathematically, if you have lone wolf active, it is better to have lone wolf optics and one force. Like, you spent the second one on instinctive aim.
Right.
But there are still times you just roll a bunch of blanks and you really wish you had that target lock. Like, it does happen.
I was like, you gotta be. I literally said out loud, we were having fun. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah. I was like, oh man, you know.
I think it happened in my game against Tyler. I think I fired a torp at the one or two health jag and I rolled like three blanks and an eye. And it was just like, all right, that hurts. Like, sometimes it happens.
That's
nothing
rough.
You can do but move on. Like,
right.
Now does Gaelic, I mean, is he kind of a threat like with that HLC?
No. So I think Scorch is probably objectively better, but I don't like Scorch because I hate just being permanently stressed on a TIFO. Like, I think their dial is amazing, and when they're stressed all the time, it's still a good dial, but like, there's a difference between I have to do a two-speed maneuver and like, I can sloop or I can K-turn or I can do my three speeds. Mm-hmm. And then I also just really like high initiative. So I tried Midnight for a while, didn't really like Midnight. And then I went to my first store champ and I got a Gaelic alt art and I was like, all right, let's try out Gaelic.
There you go.
There you go.
What should I use? What's my favorite, coolest card? There we go. Gaelic.
Yep. Yeah, listen, pretty much.
I like to do that too, right?
Are you kidding me? I go by the ships that are painted usually. I'm like, what's
that's right. Cool? Yeah. You have lots of painted ships. Yeah.
Like the die and style.
That's the best reason to pick a list, man. That's...
Yeah. What do you think is the toughest out there right now to go against?
For this list specifically, I think the Han list, specifically the one with like Han, Fen, Luke, and Keo, is the hardest one to go against. And it's because it's multiple I6s and the two sixes shoot three times before Kylo gets to go. So that's really tough. And before all the other FOs get to go. So like there's a high chance something dies before it shoots against that list.
Mm-hmm.
Han in general, pretty tough for first order list, I think. Because like you mentioned earlier, you're leaning on those green dice and Han really makes you lean on them. Like if your green dice are bad at all, he'll just chew you up.
Yeah.
Now,
do you think we're going to see a bunch of him? I feel like we ask this every week, but I can't help it. Like, cause I speak to some people and they say the Han meta is slowed down. And I feel like the only reason it's slowed down is because people have their invites already. But I feel like at Worlds, we're going to see a lot of Han. But maybe that's just me.
I agree. So I think Han is still super popular in Europe from what I've seen. So I'd expect a lot of Europeans to bring him.
Disgusting.
And then I think you're right. I think there's a decent number of people that got their invite with Han. And now they're trying out other stuff. Mm-hmm. And as they get ready for Worlds, they're going to go back to Han.
Yeah.
I have not seen...
The one who brought you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like I haven't seen a list that's come out and is really like this beats Han. Like Han doesn't have a good answer to this. There's lists that are good against Han, but I don't think there's anything that like counters him. So
all right, so lock it in. Official Worlds prediction. Doug, King of Vegas, what factions win in Worlds?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got to pick what I'm going to play. I got to decide what I'm going to play. I'm going to go first order. Boom. Kylo's doing it.
You think the reigning world champion faction is going to win again?
Yeah, clearly AMG gets it. They know.
They're like, the secret is no 6-point ships.
Yeah, exactly. Make list building super awkward with no 6-point ships and no 2-point ships. And then boom.
And they obviously have tremendous love with all the content they come out with for First Order. So
yeah, exactly.
It's got to be First Order, man.
Yeah,
it's like, already perfect. You don't need anything else.
I think First Order has a legitimate shot before Battle Endor. After Battle Endor, I got no idea. It's going to depend so much on how much all those I-6 ships cost.
Yo, man, Chad Jendon and fucking God, so Triple scary. Repo Soontier. Let's go. I'm excited.
Even that Rebel Wedge, if he's pretty cheap, like that's an advanced proton torpedo Kylo doesn't want to see. Like,
nope.
Yeah.
Sure doesn't.
People are really worried about this, huh? They really, I mean, everyone's talking about it.
I mean, I think all of them, they all look really fun.
The ships look fun. I think worried is maybe the wrong word because, like, come on, guys. But yes, I think people are.
I don't know, Pete. I keep when I speak to like my friends, like the RSG guys and stuff, and other people like around. They're like, even messaging. They're like, well, this is what I like, but I'm not sure with that with the new pack coming out. That's the always kind of the last thing that they say. The last thing.
The last thing they say before they die.
I don't know what's coming out now, you know.
The last thing they hear before they die is their opponent across the table say, after firing, I'll barrel roll Soontir and spend a charge.
One thing, though, I haven't given respect until you just said it now is that Wedge is actually going to be pretty good. And he is a six, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that because they could start putting him. I wonder if is there the scary Wedge Han Luke, and they could just put a filler in there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what you're saying is I should pivot to Han now.
No, you're nasty with those with your bombers and imps, man.
Let's not. I'm there for a good time. There's a reason I paid for my entry into the Shatterpoint League to get tickets all weekend. I don't see myself in day two of X-Wing Worlds, my friend.
Well, I just see me doing the last LCQs, and then I'm just hanging out.
You should bring your Shatterpoint stuff.
Oh, no, I definitely am. And I was having a problem buying like some other X-Wing and Shatterpoint stuff, but I'll grab you online.
Yeah, well, don't worry, old man. I'll walk you through how the computer works.
Yeah, it's something called the I-Internet, the I-Internet, you know?
It's, you know, I've a funny story that I'm telling with love, friend's father, who it was not very technologically literate, right? Mm-hmm. But he was a big New York Yankees fan, and you know, his daughter was living in Boston, and she was like, you know, Dad, when I come home to visit, I'm going to buy Yankees tickets, right? And he was like, well, how are you going to buy them? And she's like, well, I'm buying the computer. He's like, yes, but he's like, how will your computer in Boston know that you want Yankees tickets, not Red Sox tickets?
Oh, wow. Like,
right, like, because to him, it's like you buy, you know, he was always like, you buy tickets at the box office. Right. So it's become this kind of like cute story we tell, like, it's like, ah, you know, internet, it's confusing, but like, anyway, that's Chris, that story's about.
You said you weren't telling anybody.
Yeah. Don't worry, Chris. I'll help you sign up. You sign up for buy your pass to Adepticon.
You walk me through it. Doug, do you have a crew that you like roll with in St. Louis that you're like, all right, this is how we beat this meta and this is what you do here? And or are you like a lone wolf? You're like the
Chris,
one
they call
man
them,
army.
They call them a squad. You got to ask about his squad.
You got your squad, Doug?
Is it like so I'm still squad? I'm still getting to know the St. Louis people. I actually lived in Kansas City, which is the other side of the state. Until about 7 months ago.
Played against he's a little bit older guy, not an old guy, but like a little bit older from Kansas City at Worlds last year in Side Pods. And I can't remember his name, but he was the nicest guy.
Matt Newt, by chance?
Maybe? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Yeah, he was Flying Republic.
Totally him.
It was probably him, yeah.
Yeah, he's a super sweet guy. We had like, mm-hmm. I remember we like got set up and he was like, 1 second. He like went over because we were, you know, the pods last year, like the side mm-hmm. events, like were, you know, way back in the boonies of the of the convention hall. But we had no chairs. He's like, hang on 1 second. He comes back with like two chairs. He's like, we got to be able to sit when we play this game. I said, excellent. He's a good dude. Right,
you're like, my man.
Yeah, my man. Exactly. And then I blew up his Obi-Wan with Kanan. It was great. it was a great game, but he was from Kansas. And there was someone else who stopped by from that area too, and I'm so terrible. I feel so bad because I don't remember the names.
So Kansas City.
I met some great folks from Kansas is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So are you a Chiefs fan? Are you excited for the T-Swifty Bowl or coming
up? Yeah. I am probably what you'd call a fair weather football fan. Like, it's easy to love the Chiefs right now because they're great. But
nice.
Like,
that's cool.
I'll watch games.
I am what you would call a Swiftie, and I've been following on TikTok people doing the math of, can Taylor Swift finish her concert in Tokyo before the Super Bowl and have enough time with the time difference to fly to Vegas for the Super Bowl?
They really did break it down. He's not even.
She leaves at midnight. I think she'll get there with enough time. Yeah.
Honestly, my favorite thing about the Chiefs right now is how mad 50-year-old men get that Taylor Swift is dating a Chiefs player. Like, they're so mad about it.
He's not kidding. He's not kidding.
Yeah, no, they're livid because they show her during the game too much, and that's ruining football or something. I don't know. Like,
I was at a bar.
It needs fewer good-looking women superstars involved. Fewer.
Just cheering on their boyfriends.
Awful.
So toxic.
Yeah.
I was in the bar watching the game yesterday, and there was two, like, more people in their 20s, a girl and this guy, obviously dating, and they're having fun. They're watching it, and they were kind of more like fair-weather fans, but big T-Swift fans. And then I think they were with their, like, uncle or something. And he was pissed. Like every time they showed T Swift, he was like, "Ah, oh, you know, what's the big deal?"
Yeah, he gets so mad about it. It just cracks me up.
Fucking kids today.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Oh, she's just dating him to be more famous." And I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, one of the biggest pop stars in the world really need to get more fame.
Exactly. That's,
I saw a fucking thing today where. I'm so sorry, this is so off topic. I saw a fucking thing today where someone was like, there was like a tweet about like, you know, if he gets to the Super Bowl, he's going to get $70,000. No wonder Taylor Swift's dating him. And someone was like, yeah, for the fucking money, she's a millionaire.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I heard the conspiracy theories. Oh yeah, they're dating. That way, you know, it could be the T-Swifty Bowl, and then he's going to propose at the end, blah, 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 blah. They win.
Well, you know. And I will say to Travis Kelce's credit and his brother's credit, like that, because they were in the news a lot last year because they faced each other in the Super Bowl. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And their mom was like lots of shots of their mom, like, you know, not knowing who to cheer for kind of thing, like, you know, cheering for them both kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've seen interviews with them and they both seem very personable and nice. Like, you know, good for them.
Oh, they do. I love them. Go with it. Whatever. Now, if T Swifty was a Star Wars, like, kind of alien or character, would she be a Twi'lek? Would it be Twi'lek Swift?
Maybe. Well, they are performers.
Yeah.
No, she would be whatever Snice Noodles is.
Oh, I was just going to ask. Yeah. I was like, no, you can't make her Snice Noodles. Come on.
She'll be in Jabba's Palace. Yep.
Swifty Snoodles? Oh, this is horrible.
Oh, man. Australia, Chris, you heard of it? Down. They had a World's Open qualifier, which 32 folks came out there, and Matthew Deering is the winner. Now, Doug, let me know if you've heard of this list before. Han Solo,
oh, interesting.
Trick Shot, Perceptive Copilot, Millennium Falcon, Biston, okay, your boy Luke Skywalker, Wedge Antilles, what's got marksmanship and crack shot on him. K.O. Venzi with Lone Wolf Concussion, and Sabine Wren with Beskar Reinforced Plating. How would you feel facing that? You would hate it. It's got two I-6s. Oh, no.
No, we're okay. It's A-Wing Wedge. Only one I-6.
Oh, you're right. Oh, man. How sick would it be if it was X-Wing Wedge?
That would be terrifying.
That'd be incredible stuff. Can we do that? Get the math, Chris. Make me a list.
It's going to happen. I'll make it happen.
Good job, Matthew Deering. Oh, you know what? Did we play Matthew in the, remember that team tournament we played, Chris? That the internet team tournament we did?
Oh.
And we faced the Aussies that one game.
I think you might have been the guy.
Well, I don't know his last name, Deering, but I definitely played someone named Matt from Australia. And how many could there be?
There's only one. There can be. Only one.
Yeah, much like the Highlander. So we only have usernames here from Roll Better. So I really want to shout out Crumfish, one, for an incredible username, and two, because Chris, you told me he's the one who makes these excellent Onyx Squadron alt art cards. Is that right?
Yeah, they're so cool. They're so cool. He comes out with the alt art. With Wave 2 is mailed out. I should have some soon and I can hand them out. Hopefully I could run another tournament before Worlds. Hex maybe. But yes, so he comes out with the awesome alt art cards. He's done another wave, and he got his Worlds invite from the qualifier. Yes,
he came top eight, running Rack. It's a Rack attack. It Rack, Ruthless, Vader, Death Troopers, Agile Gunner, Electronic Battlefield, Dauntless. Absolutely disgusting behavior here. Rexler Breath in the Defender with Juke, Fire Control System, Cluster Missiles, Tomax, Bren, the good one. And then Major Reimer with Saturation Salvo, Barrage Rockets, and Ion Bombs. I love it. Good job, Crumfish. Do we know Crumfish's real name? Or is it?
I think it's Robert. Robert.
Oh, good. Good job, Robert.
I love seeing Rexler here. That's cool. I haven't really seen Defenders this point set, so it's great to see.
Well, great news. In the Battle of Endor, there's this I-6 Defender coming. Who's like, he's got this Giga laser.
Oh, Jesus.
He's just going to fucking wreck everybody.
His list is mean, too. You saw it?
Who? Crumfish? We just talked about it.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I was reading. Sometimes it's I pay late. Attention, I swear.
It's late. Tim, who judged at Worlds last year, right? Tim H., right? Helped judge at Worlds last year. Shout-outs to Tim. Also came top eight with, Rack. What the fuck is this? Yeah, also Rack. The same Rack. Tomax, same Reimer. Except instead of Rexler, he took his TIE Defender and cracked it into a Deathfire and Feroff with Ruthless and Triple Zero. That's the one I would probably fly.
That's fun.
Because it's cowardly. It's the cowardly version. the brave people play Rexler. But I would play the coward's one. The assassination of Rexler Breath by the coward's Deathfire and Captain Feroff.
Feroff is good. I mean, yeah, we know we talked about this at nauseam, but
fucking rad.
Yeah, he's so good and cool.
And Deathfire is just one of the most fun ships to play. Yep. It's for me.
Yeah, how about to go against? When you see those, you're like, ah, shit. It's the worst.
It creates some entertaining moments either way. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't see many ships like K turning on the first turn to chuck a bomb at people.
I always give props to... I love how Dumpf? I like Dumpf. Dumps list with Ray. I like Ray making it.
Oh, yeah. Man. I locked you, Doug. Last week, I locked in my official Worlds prediction. I think Resistance 5 ship is going to win it.
I think that's a good prediction.
Didn't we make a bet off of that, right?
I don't know. We owe the people a full on betting special here, but I'm not flying Resistance, but I predict they're going to win Worlds. I'm not going to win, but I think that's going to win.
How about John H? That looks so hard to fly.
I want to jump back to number two to Sunder here, who's flying the same list that without Battle Over Endor points aside was what I would bring to Worlds.
Yeah, that is like your list. And I like how you said his name, like with some flair, because it was like, oh, is Pete Stutter? I was like, no, he's saying the name correctly.
It's DD Sunder.
Yeah, you're like DD Sunder. Yeah.
What do you want to jump down to? You want to talk about John H?
Oh, we could talk to DD Sunder. Let's go.
No, I'm just saying. I've talked about this to death. It's Vader, Soontir, Tomax, Reimer, but Deathfire.
The Reimer's a little different. The Reimer
build is very different than what I play.
So the Reimer, it's interesting, and I'll let you dive into this, Pete and Dougie Fresh. But the Reimer, that's actually a match that I played yesterday, I think, online, and all of a sudden I see cluster missiles, and then I was thinking like, oh, you can have a range 3 cluster missile, which is kind of neat. For Reimer, right?
Yes, yeah. Reimer can do a range or a range 0 cluster missile.
Yeah, range 0 is a big deal too.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty cool. So
range, range 3, range 0 cluster missile, and with the proton bombs plus skill bombardier, right? Plus the bendy drops. You know, with the feedback ping, you can kind of get your lock. You might self bomb yourself, but you can get your lock and then range 0 cluster missile somebody.
Well, he probably has it where Deathfire launches, vomits a bomb forward.
Yep.
And then Reimer could get that lock, free lock, and maybe have the double
mark. The term the kids are using these days, Chris, is yeet.
Yeet.
He yeets a bomb.
Yeet.
A bomb right before he yeets off this mortal coil. Yeah, man. Yeah, Feedback Ping, probably good. Here's the problem with Feedback Ping, Chris. I don't own any copies of it because I don't buy FO ships.
Yeah, and no one can lend you one. Yeah, but regardless, Saturation's Alive is a lot stronger, to be honest, I think. But it's played out. It's so NPE, but I've said that to death. You know, moving on.
I don't care. What? I need every advantage I can get.
I say that. Meanwhile, I flied with it, so, you know.
Oh, wow. Absolute sicko behavior. John H., another First Order. Doug, you heard of the First Order?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe watch
yeah. We got Kylo. I'm pretty sure this is Silencer Kylo. Malice, Crackshot, Sensor Scramblers, and Protorps. Sensor Scramblers what a rad upgrade. I love it. There's so many words on it, but I love it. It's like cloaking is a fun mechanic, but putting the limitation on it that like you can be cloaked for that first like range 3 shot and then you're getting decloaked. Yeah, right.
It's my favorite version of cloaking because it doesn't feel overpowered or anything, but it feels useful.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you know, you're going to get value out of it. Mm-hmm. Or you can drop it early and, like, you know, be somewhere you don't expect to be, where someone doesn't expect you to be. I don't know. It's just, I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
Rush, also Silencer here. Crackshot, Fennecle, Advanced Optics. Everybody's favorite character here. Commander Malaris. You heard of him? Mag Pulse Warheads. Major Von Rules and Regulations, Crackshot, Deuterium Power Cells, Mag Pulse Warheads. Jesus, this is because Rush becomes I6, right?
Yeah, when he gets damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is potentially super nasty. You got to fly it perfectly, though, because you got four squishy ships, and that's it.
Yeah, man. Give me 1 second. You guys talk for a minute. I'm going to step away 1 second. My daughter is sleepwalking. I have to get her back to bed.
You get her back to bed. So this, I feel like it's like a totally a hit and run, you know. I'm gonna tease with Kylo, or I'm gonna tease with Von Rigg, like on the corners.
Yeah, I totally agree.
My only thing is Rush. He's what, a four until he's a no. He's a three.
He's a two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I feel like by the time he's a six, this guy is just gonna be totally banged up. You know.
Yeah, I feel like you gotta bait him perfectly so that he's eaten just like a couple range three shots or something, and you hope just enough damage sneaks through, and then you get I6. But yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, I can see the power of the list. You get the two mag pulses to kind of nerf offense, and then that Kylo still puts out a lot of damage. But yeah, you gotta dance real well, because I mean, nobody's gonna hold a crate really, other than Malaris.
No, yeah, everyone else has to dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what worries me with four ship lists, and I've talked to other people about this. It's like, you know, and let me bring it back to you then. Like, what is one of the harder scenarios for you? Is it chance? Is it like the salvage? Because you can't, I mean, you don't really reposition a lot.
No, yeah, salvage is actually okay.
He's bad.
Like, I got all the little FOs that don't mind grabbing a box.
Yeah.
Chance is really dependent on the opposing list. Like, chance against, like, Han is just miserable. Mm-hmm. But chance against, like, Republic, I can do. I can deal with that. I would say Assault is actually probably the hardest one for me. Because five ships is pretty average, but I only have small base ships, so there's a lot of lists that just get an advantage against me in Assault.
What about when you're going against Resistance? Is it like I'm just going to pick off a ship at a time, even though they're beefy as hell?
That one is like Kylo's got to put in work. The rest of the list, its job is to stay alive while Kylo picks apart T-70s, because Kylo can munch through them, but.
Right. It just takes time, and you really have to make sure you're not.
Yeah.
I feel like Kylo cannot afford to get caught out in one of the HLCs that's floating around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because, like, if they being able to overpower the three dice, like, with no option for you, is like, it really sucks.
Yep. Shout out to John H. making it with four ships, and none of them are large. Brendan. Resistance.
Brendan has a bananas list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is fucking top. Shout out, Brandon.
Y-wings.
No, crazy. Sorry, not Brandon. Brendan.
Brendan, yes. Or Brendan. Brendan.
Yeah, Mark Brendanowitz.
Chorus.
Good God. 1, 2, 3, 4 Y-wings with wartime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jarek Yeager and Elo Asti.
Jarek.
God.
That's a cool list.
It's a cool list. Mostly it's got, I mean, topping it off with Chorus Capellum, Gentleman Flyer. Love it. I love Chorus. Coors Capel. And this, also, what the fuck is this? How much loaded does Coors have? It's good dorsal in wartime, and that's it. Like, what?
Oh, I guess that Zori is, she doesn't even have like the usual plasmas that you see. She has threat traits, so that everybody and their mother will get the target locks and then just destroy whoever's out there.
Oh, there's got to be something. Hang on. There has to be something missing.
He's missing four points.
He's missing 4 points of loadout here. Okay, never mind. Okay. So this, yeah, minor error. But something, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I see that. Yeah, yeah. And Zori's got thread tracers. Thread tracers.
Yeah.
Give everybody else the target locks, which I guess makes sense because you got diamond boron missiles and cluster missiles. I wonder if Corus also has a missile.
I would imagine he's because what can homing ion, he could have ion torps, or he could have clusters, ion missiles, mag pulse warheads, or surely there's something there for your man Corus. Everybody, I love Corus. I just love gentleman flyers, like such good energy.
That's a lot of health, guys.
Nine for each of these Y wings with wartime. It's nine times four, Chris. Math.
This could be like an annoying. I can see Katos flying this like with Y Wing Mania. Katos, one of our flyers over here in Jersey. Shout out to Katos, and he flies the Y Wings exceptionally well. But he does like some Lando stuff too with there sometimes. But he does them exceptionally well. And this is four of them. Jesus, my God. This is like a Swiss Army knife. They all do their own little thing, I guess. Right.
Yes, the Swiss Army is actually a crazy force to reckon with, the way they wield their knives.
Although I will say I feel like Elo with plasma is good, but what about like mag pulse when you see like that rack, for example, like taking away that that reinforce, you know?
Yeah, that's very powerful. Like taking mag pulse feels like anti-rack. Like tech almost, even though it is just broadly like a very good upgrade card.
Yeah.
Being able to strip the reinforce means Rack's gonna die so much faster.
It's good in general, but there's a couple matchups like you gotta have jam of some sort, like Rack or
if only there was an option in FO to have a ship that could jam.
You can take Mallorys with Magpulse. That's exactly
it. Ah, you're right. You're totally right. Good job.
Well, I mean, they do have, if he flies them, like, or, you know, there's so many, quote unquote, there's what, four Y-Wings with wartime, right? Mm-hmm. With Zori, it doesn't matter. But with the other three, if he has one of them in the bullseye, like, this helps for crits at least. Oh, no. Corus doesn't have anything. So it would only be, yep, never mind. My point is dead.
No, we assume Corus has something that's unlisted.
Here. Oh, that's the one that we were missing the stuff. Yeah. So three of them could have technically a missile that has some type of that eventually it's going to be one of their bullseyes is what I'm saying, which means
the crits can't get
if they get a crit. Yeah. So that's pretty good at least.
Yeah. Well, then you're hoping for the diamond boron you can spend the charge and do extra damage, right?
Yeah. You get the roll for splash damage, like the chance of it.
Right, but it's based on
agility, right? The agility of the ships around you.
Is it agility of the ships around you? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's each ship at range 0-1 with agility equal to or less than the defender rolls an attack die and suffers hit or crit for each matching result.
This is like the first time I knew, I think, an upgrade before you, Pete. But mark this down, baby.
Oh, God. Count it. Count
got it.
24 p.m. on Monday, the year of our Lord, 2024.
Got him. Oh yeah, that's pretty good. Top eight is nasty, man. Top eight is nasty.
These Australians, they know what they're doing down here. What with their ships and their murdering. Swanee. Incredible name. Usernames, they're fucking wild. G-hams.
Oh, and the Mach go 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 guy. Mach go go.
Whoa, we're sleeping on me. I was here. Username Pete with a beard. That's me.
What? No way.
What is happening? Pete with a beard. If you listen.
Yes, you're right.
I swear to Christ. You got to message me. Send us an email. Yet another xwingpod@gmail.com. Send us an email. We need to connect.
Yeah.
Because that's me. I have a beard and my name is Pete.
This could be your Australian doppelganger.
I've never met another Pete playing X-Wing. This has never come up.
I'm trying to think, but
I know six Chris's and four Doug's.
Yeah. And he's flying. In fact,
there's another Doug on Discord that I confused Doug Howe with when everyone was like, Doug won LVO. And I said, oh my God, Doug won LVO. And they're like, no, the other Doug. I go, oh my God, Doug won LVO. Doug Stoneweaver.
The best Doug, really.
And he flew scum.
He's a good Doug, yeah.
He is a good Doug.
Yeah, Pete with a beard flew scum. He flew Boba Fett. Oh, he flew Dengar and Manaru. Oh, God. What the fuck? Pete! Me! What are you doing? What are you doing to our name? Fucking double toilet bowl? What?
God. He's got your favorite good-looking ships, man. Dengaru.
I hate that fucking ship. It's so ugly.
You so do. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Anything? Oh, you know, Jankmeister. Look at Jankmeister with Boba Fett, Hondo, and Dace Bonearm. Go Jankmeister.
Jankmeister.
They really do have cool names. Iced Yoda Joshim.
I'm positive his name is Josh M. Chris.
You don't know. Do you know him? Does Pete the Beard know him? Huh? Do they hang out?
No, it's not Pete the Beard. He's not like posing. he's Pete with a beard.
All right, yeah, whatever.
Same thing. He has someone with him who is posing as his girlfriend. You see,
maybe I could call you Pete the Beard now. Pete the Beard.
That's Jimothy, good name.
Borkan didn't make the top eight.
Listen, this is the end of this podcast, Chris.
Oh man, Octorcon
did not make. Oh, sorry, Octorcon.
Next time. Next time, Octocon. Any shout-outs? Shout-out to your people?
Yes, let's shout them out, Doug.
Shout-out to Alex Smittle, Matt Newt, Greg Smith. They're my buddies. We actually have a podcast, too. Not that we record ever, but...
Oh,
shout out your podcast so people can listen to it.
Tashi Station Radio.
Oh, fuck yeah, Tashi, good name. I love Tashi.
Yeah. We are out of power converters, though. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Oh, man. You got to go to the
Alex
store.
Alex Smittle. Why do I know Alex Smittle's name?
We started playing X-Wing at the same time. He's one of my best friends. We go to a lot of same tournaments. He couldn't come to LVO, unfortunately.
Did he go to PAX?
Or Nova?
Mm-mm. No, he hasn't gotten to play much this year. He won a lot like in second edition.
Oh, well, good job, Alex.
Yeah.
Shout out to Alex.
Come to Worlds. Shout out to Alex's everywhere, and Alex Smittle specifically.
Hang out with Pete the Beard.
Doug, we'll see you at Worlds. You got your accommodations covered now. It's very exciting stuff for your bank account.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Make sure we say hello at Worlds. I'll be rooting for you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'll be rooting for you.
That'll make one of us, because I fucking am not. I pre-ordered the Ewok packs for Shatterpoint, so I'm gonna be playing Ewok Shatterpoint time and taking a break to lose at X-Wing and then going right back to that.
So you'll be having fun while the rest of us suffer.
That's right. Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's basically how I live my life. I have a great time while everyone around me suffers. Chris Daniel, thanks for joining us. Doug Howe, excellent having you on. I'm really glad that you got to join us. You got a chance to chat. Thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations again on LVO win. I know we make a lot of japes on this podcast, but winning a big event like that is a big deal. Good job, man. Shout outs. Excellent work. I've been your host, Pete Lambro. This has been yet another X-Wing podcast, and we will talk to you guys next week. Countdown to Worlds continues. 6 weeks until Worlds.
6 weeks.
Six of them. Count them. That is very soon, yes. Anyway, we will we'll catch you guys next time. Bye-bye. Burr, 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 burr.